You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily Arizona Cardinals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kind of feel like the guy that wasn't invited to the party. You know, Bo is used to not being invited to parties. He was never really that popular. I was more of the popular kid in high school. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. And we see all of this movement with head coaches, offensive coordinators getting moved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you look in Cardinals camp, and they're pretty much hibernating. Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. We've talked a lot of negative stuff, negative slant, since the Cardinals miraculously missed the playoffs after week 17 of losing to two backup quarterbacks in consecutive weeks. So we're going to give in this first segment a little levity, a little happiness, a little sugar-coated segment to where we kind of forget that the Cardinals are on the outside looking in on all the excitement, whether it be movement of coaches or playoff games, etc. We're going to start off with that, and then we'll pivot to just talk about what is going on in the NFL and how many moves have been made with the Arizona Cardinals sitting pat. Now, Bo, before we get into the awards, do you think the Cardinals' name should be poking up anywhere? Or is this kind of what we've been resigned to because there's no way Steve Keim or Cliff Kingsbury are going anywhere?
We're resigned to it just because of the faults of their past, right? They made the mistake with Steve Wilks. They made the mistake with Josh Rosen. They they've made their bed and now they have to sleep in it. I mean, as far as kind of poking around and looking at all these intriguing names that are popping up, whether it's in the front office or whether it's on coaching staff, you're seeing some hot names that have been around and bandied about like every offseason. And now finally it looks like Urban Meyer is going to find an NFL head coaching home in Jacksonville. And to think that, I don't know if he ever would have realistically, thought about the Arizona Cardinals. He's obviously got ties to Florida. He's got the home in LA. I don't know if he's won championships in Arizona. That's like his only tie. But I think it's more from our media and fan standpoint. It'd be fun to kind of take part of. You just have a little bit of, and you're probably going to hate this, a little FOMO.
I'm going to throw up. You wonder why you weren't the popular kid.
Wow.
Hopefully
they're just not. They have to hire a wide receivers coach.
Yes.
And I think that the conversation needs to continue that we've had to potentially bring in a play caller.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a better chance that Kyler Murray gets traded than them actually bringing in a play caller, because that would mean that Steve Keiman would be wrong. And that means that Michael Bidwell would be wrong by proxy of Steve Keim being wrong, that he hired Cliff Kingsbury to run an offense that he can't run. And it would be great. It'd be great outside the box thinking, but what's the point of having Cliff Kingsbury if he's not here to call plays? Like, legitimately, he's an offensive coordinator parading around as a head coach. And we'll talk about that in the next segment. Just fear of missing out is a real thing. And you're right. I think the fan base, I think there's a lot of malaise. Just, it's not necessarily shock. It's just indifference now towards the rest of the NFL season at this point, because the Arizona Cardinals are not in it or in some capacity. So Bo and I are going to do end of the year awards here. Probably could have done a little bit earlier, but I think that doing it now will add a little bit more substance, because we have to remember that there were some good times that we had this year. There were some fun times, whether it be Buda Baker's pick almost six, Isaiah Simmons intercepting Russell Wilson to set up the game-winning field goal by Zane Gonzalez. There's been a lot of fun that we've had this year watching the Arizona Cardinals.
Did you forget about the Hail Mary?
No. I mean, we've talked about the Hail Mary more than – okay, hey, Bo, do you remember the Hail Mary too? Yeah, that was awesome also. So we're going to do the MVP, most improved, unsung heroes, my favorite, and comeback player of the year. And the last three are kind of the same, but we've seen glimpses from people on the roster that we hadn't necessarily seen in recent memory. So let's start with comeback player of the year, Bo. You go first.
Simple, right? I mean, did the guy have to come back from injury? Is that the requirements here?
No.
Because it didn't. That's not what they did with Ryan Tannehill last year for the actual award, which was pretty criminal that he got it. You just sucked in Miami, and then you become the comeback player of the year in Tennessee. But, no, I mean, I think we're going to be both in agreement on this. Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
12.5 sacks, a guy whose career high was 4.5 before that. Just, six forced fumbles. An incredible performance for Hassan Reddick when the team sorely missed pass rushers when Chandler Jones went down with the bicep injury. So I don't think there's any question. It's got to be Hassan Reddick. Maybe your next guy would be Mike Nugent. When was the last time Mike Nugent kicked in an NFL game?
He was with, Indy New England a couple years ago?
Yeah, I guess he kicked in New England last year. But for the most part, when was he a full-time kicker? He came in relief of Zane Gonzalez when he was struggling mightily and kind of added some stability to the kicking position for the Arizona Cardinals. I just think it's Hassan Reddick, and then it's very far down the line that you can look at some other guys, but I think Hassan Reddick is your comeback player of the year because he was coming back from his fifth-year option being declined and the team nearly parting ways with him after training camp. I mean, there's no concrete report saying that, but he was on the bubble to make the roster this year, found himself a role, and thrived in it.
Yeah, he was almost on the bubble in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, they almost Akeem Butler'd him. You know, it's him. And it'll be interesting to see if he was a one-hit wonder or if they're going to franchise tag him or what, because it's going to be interesting to see how much money they tie to a guy who's had one good year in his career. And it wasn't necessarily even a – it was – he had a solid 8 or 9 games last year. And Devon Kennard got a contract from the Cardinals after having, you know, a handful of sacks, half of which were against the Cardinals in week 1 of 2019. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But, yeah, we're in agreement. It's going to be Hassan Reddick. Unsung hero, Bo, please.
I've got two in mind. I'm going to go with DJ Humphries. I think that DJ Humphries doesn't get enough credit for holding down one of the more important positions in sports, and that's the left tackle position. He's protecting your franchise quarterback and Kyler Murray, and he only gave up 3 sacks this year, and that was after only giving up 2 sacks the previous season. I think that DJ Humphries, once again, also an Iron Man this year. He played in every single game for the Arizona Cardinals. I think that he has, in a spot that was kind of in flux for a long time after Jared Valdir, his production slipped. DJ Humphries has done a great job in being that franchise left tackle for the Arizona Cardinals. I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are and who your unsung hero is, because it might be the other guy I was considering.
No, it's DJ Humphries. I don't like when I have to go second for these. It's DJ Humphries. If I were able to do it for the whole organization, it'd be Vance Joseph still, because nobody's given him the credit he deserves, even though they gave him some credit. It was marred by the fact that they didn't make the playoffs, and none of them losing this year, the majority of it was Vance Joseph's fault. This was the offense not being able to put up points. And yes, the defense did give up a 30-burger a couple times, one of which to Miami with Tua's, Tua's first full start, et cetera, or second start, whatever. But the offense did not give them the recipe for success on the defensive side, and Vance Joseph did a hell of a job. But yeah, it's DJ Humphries. DJ Humphries, it looks like a steal money-wise. I mean, people have played a lot worse from the left tackle position after getting a lot more than what DJ Humphries got. He took a team-friendly deal for his first full contract outside of his rookie deal. He wanted to stay with the team. He wanted to be left tackle for Kyler Murray. Not all offensive lines are going to be the Tom Brady front five. It's not going to happen from the mid-2000s to the late 2000s. It's not going to be.
It's the old cliche. If you're not talking about the offensive line, it usually
Yeah, they're
a
doing
good
a
thing.
Good job. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's been the interior side of the offensive line. We saw Kelvin Beachum get beat bad a couple times. You can see you just remember flashbulb memories of that happening. But the bookends have played pretty well for the offensive line, and DJ Humphries led the two of them. And yeah, unsung hero, definitely DJ Humphries. Most improved. Go right ahead, Bosef.
All right. It was a guy that I considered for unsung, and it's Dennis Gardeck. 7 sacks. What do you have in under, 100 opportunities to get after the passer? He had 7 sacks. He also continued to play at a high level on special teams for this team. He was involved in a couple special teams turnovers, big plays. Dennis Gardeck is most improved, you know, outside of, you know, Hassan Reddick is the obvious, but I didn't want to double down.
You know, I have a guy that we haven't heard from in a while, but just by default, I think it's Chase Edmonds. I mean, Chase Edmonds was able to show, at least, he was able to show flashes of what he would be like as the scat back who still got carries. Like, we're not looking full-on Theo Riddick or Chris Thompson here. Chase Edmonds, when the offense was run correctly, he's a terror out of the backfield catching the ball. He and Kyler Murray have camaraderie, they have rapport, and when Chase Edmonds sees a hole, he hits it and he's gone. I mean, that's not necessarily to be said about Kenyon Drake. So what Chase Edmonds has done, most improved, meaning he took a big step forward from where he was last year to this year. And yeah, there was David Johnson in front of him, and then it was Kenyon Drake and David Johnson kind of in front of him last year, aside from the 3-touchdown performance on all 20-plus yard carries in New York. Like, he's been okay. We've been waiting to see a breakout, and we saw somewhat of a breakout this year, an improvement, something to build on next year. So mine's Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds, I have no problem with that. You know, I just think it was when the Cardinals were successful, he was heavily involved. He was a guy that was catching the ball in the backfield. He was a great change of pace back for Kenyon Drake. And when it was just pretty much Drake, the offense, it lacked, you know, just diversity. So, yeah, Chase Edmonds was a key to the team's success before things kind of went sour at the end of the season.
You know, and then MVP, I'll take Kyler. I mean, I think Bo and I talked before this. It's Kyler / Buda, co-champions. Buda Baker, you know, he's the leader of the defense. He's going to be the anchor moving forward. We'll see what happens with Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson. Kyler Murray's the leader of the offense, and we'll see what happens. But this team will go, in the most part, for how those two players go for the next 5 or 7 years.
When you look at Buda Baker, I mean, you could put him in your unsung hero, most improved. You can put him in most valuable player. I think he falls in all those. And you're like, well, how can he get in most improved? Because he was a Pro Bowler last year, but he still wasn't. He made the Pro Bowl, which was nice, but he wasn't as incredible as he was this season as far as he secured his first pick of his career, added one on top of that. He was getting to the quarterback. He continued to be the tackling machine that we all know. But he added to his game. He added onto a Pro Bowl resume, which is not easy to do. And he absolutely has his case for most valuable player. I think that Kyler Murray also could fall in the most improved category as well as the MVP, because you just saw a spike in those numbers. I mean, he had 20 touchdowns passing last year. He had 26 this year. He added to the rush game, 800 yards rushing with 11 touchdowns. And I know that was kind of slowed down that towards the end of the season. If he'd kept pace, those numbers would have been out of this world. But then you can bring in DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins improved on his numbers coming over from Houston. What do you have, like just around 1,100 yards receiving last year? He had 1,400 yards receiving this year when he was facing, you know, double coverage, triple coverage. He came down with the Hail Mary. He deserves a little honorable mention. I don't think he should get shut out completely because of some other big performances for this Cardinals team.
Alex Lancey, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Coming up next, there's a lot going on around the NFL regarding coaching changes, and the Cardinals, not part of the party. That's next, Locked On Cardinals. But first, a word from our friends at Echelon. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that's taking cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. The EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, You can try any Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's E-C-H-E-L-O-N fit.com/lockedon. It's a weird time between week 8 and where we are now. It's weird to feel how we're feeling covering the Cardinals right now. You know, it feels like the first 7 or 8 weeks of the NFL season was 3 years ago. Covering a different team. The highlights are not as potent. The lowlights are coming into focus a little bit more. The spotlight on Cliff Kingsbury has never been hotter. And Steve Keim is just sitting there not doing a whole lot about it. And we're seeing defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators get fired. We're seeing GMs swapping. We're seeing a director of scouting moving and taking the GM job with the Lions. Like, teams are constantly trying to make themselves better. And you're looking at what Steve Keim has done after trading for DeAndre Hopkins. He's like, you know what? I think we're good. And I mean, that was it. You know, he's like, I'll keep my job, drafted Kyler Murray, traded for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm good for at least another year. And that's where we're at now. And we're constantly seeing teams that made the playoffs, Seattle, try to get better, where a team that didn't make the playoffs is just looking at you like, we're going to stay status quo. We're going to stand pat. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's because Seattle, you know, John Schneider, Pete Carroll, they watch this team down the stretch and they can, you know, raise the banner if they want for NFC West champs, and they fell short in the playoffs and got embarrassed by the Rams. They watched with their own eyes and they saw Brian Schottenheimer, what he was doing with that offense. They saw red flags from the beginning of their season when they had a 5-0 start before the Cardinals beat them. That there was going, that they saw that as an issue and they wanted to go in a different direction. And you have to respect that. And that's getting ahead of it. I mean, I know Schottenheimer was there for 3 seasons and they did some good things, but they saw that as a ceiling. And no, I think the Arizona Cardinals, you have to hope that if they're just sitting on their hands right now, while there's all this action going on, and you understand that, like, okay, they're not going to make a move at the GM spot. Whatever, Steve Keim has pictures. We don't know. He's entrenched at the general manager spot. He's been in the organization 20-plus years. Michael Bidwill, he's got his ear. Cliff Kingsbury is the guy that they decided to pivot towards after they moved off of Steve Wilks. And they're going to move forward with Cliff Kingsbury. So there's not going to be any change there. You can't go with Vance Joseph. They made the move at the wide receivers coach position. I mean, where can they make moves? I'll tell you where. They have to improve this roster. They have to continue to improve this roster. If they're not in the headlines now, they have to be in the headlines once again, making a splash, whether it's trades, free agency, or in the NFL draft. Because to move forward with the status quo from a team that fell short, sure, you know, when I'm looking and staring down this schedule, the Arizona Cardinals, it's not as going to be as favorable as it was this season, and they went 8-8 this season. I mean, the prospect of facing Urban Meyer, one of the winningest coaches at the college level of all time, and then he'll have a top pick quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, like, that's going to be an improved team. You're not facing the Jaguars of last year that we all know. It's the road to the playoffs next year is going to be even tougher, and they've got to be armed with a lot more talent than they already have. So if they're quiet now, they better be making a lot of noise when it comes to adding talent to this roster this offseason.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest understatements ever spoken. I mean, it's true. I mean, it's not a dumb comment. Let's put it that way. I mean, this is something that is going to constantly be discussed on this podcast. It's going to constantly be discussed in the landscape of Phoenix sports media from now until when free agency starts and then the draft, etc. And you can't mess this offseason up. Now, this is the perfect situation to look at how far Steve Keim had pulled this team back from the start of the race. This is it. So the moves that Steve Keim made this past offseason, Devondre Campbell, Devon Kennard, Jordan Phillips, DeAndre Hopkins. if that were to have been made before the 2019 season, the Cardinals would be in a way better spot. But what happened after the 2015 NFC Championship game run until 2019 was the Cardinals sitting down and say, you know what? You can take your head start. Rest of the NFL, we're going to stand pat. They were frozen in time. Them and Ted Williams right next to each other in frozen chambers.
And Walt Disney, yeah.
And Walt Disney. We're standing right next to each other in Austin Powers. And you have the rest of the NFL constantly making moves. And when the Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray, number one overall, when that happened, the rest of the NFL had a 20-mile lead in the marathon. So just because the Cardinals have made moves since then to better the roster doesn't mean that they're not far behind. It doesn't mean that they're close to the rest of the NFL, to the top teams. I always equated it to Steve. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, look, in kind of playing devil's advocate here, is you just got to hope that Steve Keim is in his office plotting and trying to work out, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins deal of this offseason, right? I don't know if that's possible to pull off in back-to-back off seasons as big of a splash as that. But, and I will say this, when we talked on Wednesday and we went through Pro Football Focus's predictions for the Arizona Cardinals, the acquisitions that they have them making in the offseason isn't going to be enough. Adding Joe Tooney to the interior of their offensive line isn't going to be enough, and retaining Patrick Peterson, Kenyon Drake, and then letting Hassan Reddick walk, you're not a better football team from those moves.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Like, it's just...
You're supposed to be positive this episode, Alex.
I know, man. I'm getting frustrated. You know, it wasn't supposed to happen this way. Like, I sound like a Cleveland Browns fan or something. Where it's like, this was supposed to be the year.
Right.
This was supposed to be the year things were supposed to shift. And it hasn't happened. We'll wrap up this segment. We'll try to find something positive to talk about. Next segment before we get out of here. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Something positive is thank you to everybody who listens. Again, we appreciate it. Daily interaction on Twitter. We want that to continue and heighten throughout the playoffs, throughout the offseason. So please tell your friends, subscribe, leave reviews. We want to make this the best possible podcast possible. If I can say it twice, I'll take an English lesson during the break. We'll be right back, Locked On Cardinals. But first, I get to talk about our friends at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same part? Doesn't make any sense. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And also, an episode of Locked On Cardinals would not be complete without talking about betonline.ag. There's a lot of important football coming up this weekend. We got the divisional rounds, and it doesn't stop there. There's one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. There's college basketball, NBA, and again, a bunch of NFL action this weekend. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports experts. And don't forget to visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG on Twitter to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Final segment here, Locked On Cardinals, for this beautiful Thursday here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's 72 degrees. I know Bo loves this weather. He loves being out here. It's a beautiful thing. Unfortunately, we're not going to be talking about the Cardinals playing this weekend. So Urban Meyer got hired today by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence, most likely, unless the Kansas City Chiefs offer Patrick Mahomes for that pick. It's funny because Bo is right, and we're going to talk about – we don't want to dive into the schedule too deep, too early. We know who the home and away opponents for the Cardinals are going to be for the 2021 season. And let's put it this way. It's going to be a lot more difficult than what we withstood watching the Cardinals do this year. It's going to be a lot more difficult, a lot more quarterback firepower. And one of them is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Cardinals are going to travel to Florida to play the Jaguars, most likely led by Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. It's going to be interesting because – we saw this year, kind of. I'm going to equate it to the Miami game, where you saw Tua. This was like, oh, it's going to be. We thought initially it was going to be the Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Kyler Murray show. And then when Tua came in late in the game with the last 30 seconds, whatever, started a full game after that, threw for 90-plus yards but got a W. And then he came to Arizona, came to State Farm Stadium, and put on a show and got a W. Because Zane Gonzalez couldn't kick. It's interesting with Brian Flores, young coach, never coached in the NFL. Tua, top five pick, was supposed to be the number one pick if he didn't rip his hip apart that draft. And then Trevor Lawrence coming out as being the top pick, most likely. I just don't know if we can separate college success from pro success right away. Like, it depends on when it's going to be. If it's going to be week three, we're going to see Trevor Lawrence at the very, very early prenatal stages of his rookie season. Or if we see him in later in the season, we'll see a much more polished guy, you'd think, than where he was in week one of his NFL rookie campaign. There's going to be so many question marks surrounding that, but you can't think like, well, just because he's Trevor Lawrence in college, he's going to come out and be gangbusters right away. But it will be an interesting dynamic to watch. First-time NFL head coach, first-time NFL quarterback playing the Cardinals next year at home.
But who do you give the edge to if you're just looking at the head coaches? I think it's pretty simple. I mean,
I give the head coach to me at this point.
Urban Meyer versus Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what level it's at. I don't care if it's Pop Warner. The edge is going to Urban Meyer, and that's what we kind of witnessed down the stretch was Cliff Kingsbury continually getting out-coached. And, you know, that's – I'm not saying – look, the Jaguars won one game in 2020. They were atrocious. The quarterback play was terrible. They're going to get an immediate upgrade. I don't know if you want – for whatever reason, if you want to throw Justin Fields into that conversation now just because the Urban Meyer coached at Ohio State, never coached Fields. But, you know, you can do that easy connecting the dots. I still think it's going to be Lawrence. And we all know that – you know, we even saw one win team go to 9 wins in a playoff appearance with Andrew Luck. Year one, and they're calling Lawrence, you know, the most can't-miss quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. So if there's a little luck in there, I think that the Arizona Cardinals, one of the more winnable games on their 2021 schedule, just got a lot tougher. In the offseason hasn't even really begun. They've got over $80 million, close to $90 million in cap space the Jaguars do. And it's just the Arizona Cardinals – as we talk in this entire podcast about how they've just been stagnant in the offseason, they really truly cannot be stagnant when it comes to adding talent. They just have to get better on paper, and they'll have the luxury, hopefully, this offseason of getting together and having, you know, mini camps and training programs and stuff that they missed out on last year. But we don't know that for sure, but hopefully it's trending that direction. But the Arizona Cardinals absolutely have to get better because they're not going to face Tua in his first start. They're not going to have that luxury. You know, they're not going to have the ability to face Joe Flacco or Andy Dalton or Dwayne Haskins and all the quarterbacks that they faced, C.J. Beathard. They're not going to have that luxury next season. It's right now the deck is stacked against the Cardinals to improve. Like they are at an absolute just crossroads where they have to really have a successful offseason. Like, it was easy to have a successful offseason after 3-13. You had the top picks in the draft. You had ample cap space. Last year, You made the move for DeAndre Hopkins. It was an immediate win, and it was easy to go from 3 to 5 wins to 8 wins. Now, this is where we really, if you're a general manager, you make money. Alex, you and I could make the top pick in each and every round and have a decent success rate. And, this is going to be so key. This is where Steve Keim has to show that he's learned from his past mistakes.
Oh, man, that's like saying your one aunt who's always 45 minutes late to every family gathering. Maybe she'll be on time this time. Maybe this is the time. Maybe for my birthday, she'll be on time. And she's always 45 minutes late on the nose. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. We will talk to you tomorrow with hopefully some more positive news, a positive outlook on what looks to be Death Valley when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals amid all of the fun stuff that's going on around the NFL with coaching personnel changing and teams still playing in the playoffs, meaningful games. We'll talk to you tomorrow.